Oh, thanks so much, Pastor. You know, we were singing that hymn. And again, I'm awed with the thought that, you know, the God of the universe, the one who spoke that sun into existence, has condescended or come down, as it were, to meet with us in this place. I personally am convinced that our hearts aren't gripped enough by that truth. And so it's easy for us to think about God and think about his son, Jesus Christ, as somebody or something even. Sad to say, many people think that way. Somebody way out yonder. But the Lord Jesus said it in words that we can really understand in this pressurized age. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him. I see the young guys and gals, I see the older ones, the middle-aged ones. You know what's so beautiful about the Lord Jesus? He had no problem ever communicating, getting across. We live in a day of specialties. A guy, perhaps he says he's trained and he can only talk to a certain class of people. I personally don't believe in that. I believe that the Lord Jesus is in all of his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when his people are free, you know what he does? I'll tell you what he does. I believe I got one. In fact, I got two. He flows through just like liquid would through that straw. Now, I'll say this for the youngsters because I don't know how many older ones are paying attention. And I'll check it out right now. How many of you older ones got a straw? If you got it, just take it out, raise it up. See, it's already Wednesday. We've been talking about it since Sunday. Young people, I tell you what to do. Get you a straw. Those of you who love Jesus, those of you who put your trust in the Lord Jesus, just get you a straw. And you can carry it in your pocket. Some of you girls, you know, you even though you're young, you have purses. And that even fit those purses that you carry. And it'll be a wonderful reminder to you that that's what we're to be. Only one difference, you see, that straw has no life. And everybody who's put their trust in Jesus Christ does, because the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And, oh, could I say this again for my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those in my age bracket, younger or older? I wasn't just kidding. Do that. Do you know that's our problem? Do you know that we hear a lot of things and it goes right in one ear and right out the other? We say, oh, but I just thought he was kidding. It was like a lady said to me in Seattle. She says, you know, Brother Sam, I don't know when to take you serious. Now, you know, I'm preaching, and just because I didn't look like an accident going somewhere to happen, or cracked stone, she says she don't know when to take me serious. Well, you see, she's got a problem. Because what she's really saying to me is that it's got to come a certain way. In spite of the fact that the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast, that which is good. So, get your straw. Put it in your purse. I tell you what, it'll really deliver you from a whole lot of stuff. It'll deliver you from thinking about you're weak. Because, you see, it's not weak. It's nothing. It'll deliver you from thinking, I can't do it. It'll remind you, as we read the word, where Jesus says, he can do all things. It's he who does it. Well, let me first, I want to talk to the youngsters. How many girls do we have here? With all of the girls in the young age, would you just stand up just for a moment? Just all of the girls. Just let me see how many, you know. Good. Boy, that's a good. Now, good. Okay, thanks, girls. Now you can sit down. Now, let me see all of the guys. Let me see all the guys standing. Where are all those guys? Come on, stand up. You know, boy, tall. Boy, there's more of you than I thought there was. Thanks so much for coming. Okay, good. Sit down. Now, guys, you wouldn't mind if this story isn't really have to do with just a little girl, because it isn't just girls who have faith, you know. Now, a lot of times in church, you think that this Christianity was just for girls and women. You'd really think that a lot of times because guys who got big muscles, you know, they'd rather stand outside and say, oh, that ain't for me. But let me share something with you just in case you happen to be one of those who has that in the back of your mind. It takes Jesus Christ in a guy to make him what God intended for them to be. And Christianity is not just for girls and women. But I wanted to talk tonight very briefly about the seven ducks in muddy water. Now, let me see the hands of all you youngsters. None of you 20 years old and older, but all of you youngsters who 20 years old and under have never heard the story of the seven ducks in muddy water. Ah, well, praise the Lord. Well, would you believe it? It's in the Bible. Don't look at me funny, Mom. That is in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Seven ducks in muddy water. And guess what it is? It is in 2 Kings chapter 5. How many have ever heard this story of Naaman the leper? You remember the name of the leper? He was a mighty man. What we'd call him in our country would be a captain or a general of the army or admiral in the navy. He was the captain of the host. He was a mighty man of valor, the Bible says, but he was a leper. And there was a little girl. I kind of say she was a little girl because the Bible says she was a little maiden. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She had been carried away captive by the Syrian army. And she was an Israelite. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and one day she saw Naaman take off his coat, and guess what she said? 20 words. Would to God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for then he would recover him of his leprosy. And that's the message that got back to Naaman. And you know what that fellow did? He got silver, he got gold, he got so many changes of raiment, and then he went to Samaria. But he went to the wrong person. And I just like to say this for all of us in here. You know, many, many times something comes up in our lives and we go to the wrong person. Instead of going to the Lord, we go to puny man. We go to puny lady. Pardon the expression, but you know what I mean. They can't really do anything. Really, they can't. Now, just in case you happen to be here as a grown person and you think you can do something, I got a wonderful Bible verse for you. John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, or he that liveth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now that isn't very popular going around the country, especially when you talk to adults and really look them on the eyeball and say, all you can do is goof. But that is the truth. And that's one of the things that's kind of hard for us, naturally speaking, to take. And it isn't until we come to the end of ourselves and we've tried everything and everything we fail and we're frustrated in, and then we finally respond to the Lord and we let him do it. Many people go to the wrong person. Some people hear about the Lord and the Spirit of God, you know, just begins to pull, as it were, on the very cords of their heart. And right away, you know what they do? They just up and join some church to get religious. Well, it isn't religion that people need. You know what people need? People need a relationship with Jesus Christ. They need to be born again. And in order to do that, they have to hear what our brother was saying earlier in the meeting. They have to hear the message of the cross. They must hear how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I know in our world there's a lot of what we call in this our day plastic. We used to call it, before we had the word plastic, we used to call it hypocrites. There are lots of people who are going through the motions. They say one thing with their lips. But, oh, boy, they're doing something else with their life. In other words, what their walk doesn't go with their talk. They're saying one thing, but they're not doing another. And a lot of times people look at those kind of people, and you know what they do? They just write off this wonderful Christ. They don't have anything to do with Christ because, you see, they say that's Christianity. No, no, Christianity is Christ, not what those people are doing. Christianity is Christ, the Lord Jesus, who loved us, who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God. Now, I know that's not over anybody's head. The reason I know that is because I look at television once in a while and I look at some of those silly commercials and some of those that I don't understand. And I listen to some of those other things that just don't make sense to me. And I know that there are a lot of people that, you know, they get them. I don't even get them. Now, I know I got a sense of humor and all that, and a lot of things I might be quick at, but there's just some things I just don't get. And I know this is very clear and very down to earth. It's not over anybody's head. We don't intend to use any 35 or 40 cent words because you know as well as I do that if this beautiful chapel was to catch on fire right now, we wouldn't be floundering around for the 35 or the 40 cent high sounding adjective. We'd just holler fire and get out of here. And do you not know, my friend, that that's the same way when it comes to the Lord? You just talk about the Lord in a down-to-earth language. Isn't it beautiful that you don't have to put any special look on your face and throw your voice way deep in gear? I just got to say something in that. I have a son, two of them, in fact. Both of them came through the mails. Now you want to know what kind is that? They were adopted. And you know, my older son used to sit in my chair when I'd be out of town. And then sometimes when I'd come back home, I'd let him sit in that chair. And when we'd have devotions, you know what he'd do? He'd throw his voice way in low gear, and here's what he'd say. And he had a voice that sounded more like a girl than a boy, but you know how he'd pray? Holy Father. You know what I used to tell him? Just tap him on the shoulder. I'd say, knock it off, Paul. And I shook him up the first time because I interrupted his prayer. I said, look, when you talk to the Lord, you just talk in your regular voice. Talk like you talk to your friends over the phone. Talk like you talk in your regular voice. Don't do that. Because you get in the habit of doing that now, and you'll do that all during your lifetime. And he stopped doing that. In fact, we pray sometimes with our eyes open. If you think it's going to distract you, well, then don't do it. And I learned how to do that because, you see, when we came up during the Depression, there was three of us boys. And us boys, when Mom or Dad was giving thanks for the meat or the food, we would always be pinching off of the meat. And now, I'm not telling you to do that, you know, but that's what we did. You know, they don't do that now. The children got much more sense than that now. But we didn't. Be pinching off of the meat. And then as soon as the prayer was over, I'd say to Mom or Dad, guess what, Mom? While you was praying, Amos was pinching off of the meat. That's my younger brother. And, you know, I thought that Mom would say, get up from the table and go to your room. But you know what she'd say? How do you know? So I learned way early, don't say what I see when prayer is going on. But I really learned how to do that, and then it come in real handy when I went to speak in prison. But getting back to the seven ducks in muddy water, you see, Naaman got the word, and he just prepared. He went to the wrong person. You know who he went to? He went to the king. And when he gets to the king, you know what the king does? The king just gets mad. He does something that hasn't a person in his place ever done. And if I was asked for a show of hands, not one of them would go up. None of you have ever gotten so mad about something that your husband bought you, or your wife bought you, or your mom bought you, or your dad bought you. You've never gotten so mad at that garment that you tore it up. The king was so mad when this message came to him that he tore his clothes. Can you imagine a king tearing his clothes? Can you imagine somebody in Waynesburg saying something that'll make President Carter so mad that he just tear his suit off of him? Well, that's exactly what happened. That's in the Word. I'm not kidding. It's right here in 2 Kings chapter 5. But you see, he went to the wrong man. And of course, he had a servant, and he ended up going to the right man. And he went to the man of God, the prophet, where he was supposed to go in the first place. And I can just imagine he pulls up there in that chariot and has all that dust just flying up in the air. And he expects the man of God to come out and, you know, do a little hocus pocus and his leprosy would be gone. And you know what? The man of God didn't even come out. He sent his servant out and he told him to go and dip seven times in the Jordan. Now, you know, the name of the story is Seven Ducks in Muddy Water. How many of you ever seen your mom make French toast? I thought you'd understand what I was talking about. And you know what she does? She takes the eggs and she takes the milk and whatever else she puts in it. And then she takes a piece of bread and she ducks it down under the milk. Duck, dip, same thing, right? And then she puts it down under that and puts it on the griddle or the frying pan, however she, that's it. Now you do make it that way. I know you make it that way in Pennsylvania. They make it that way all over the country. I just keep looking at that lady sitting so far away back there. You know, I like that. You know, people look at you real strange as if, where'd you get that? I watch people, that's why. Well, they told him to go dip seven times in that Jordan, and the Jordan was a river that overflowed its banks. It was also a very muddy river, and right away Naaman got mad. Blew his stack, so to speak. Got mad, thought about two rivers of Damascus that were beautiful and clean. He named them, and he talked about them, but you know something? He would have went away a leper. But just because he had a servant who was level-headed. In other words, he had somebody who had his head screwed on right, as we say. You know what he did? He reconsidered, and he went to the Jordan. I can see him going down in that river, and I see him coming up one time, and he's still a leper. He goes down two, three, four, five, six times, and he's still a leper. You know why? The man of God told his servant to tell Naaman seven times, and seven speaks of maturity or full growth, the completeness. And he went down the seventh time, and when he came up, we read in 2 Kings chapter 5 that his flesh was like that of a little child. And you know what I think about when I read that story? It's just not there to fill up the pages between chapter 4 and chapter 6. I think about the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Mount Calvary for sinners such as you and I. It was nigh under 2,000 years ago that the Lord Jesus poured out his life's blood. And we're living in a day where we have computers. We're living in a day where they do so many things with what they call a laser beam. And we're living in a day where there are people, yes, in various walks of life who said, man, there's nothing to that Christianity. And friend, I don't say this because I'm a preacher, because I don't say it because of, I say it because it's so. I used to say the same thing, and now it's the only reason I want to live. Why? Because over 33 years ago in a Swedish church, I found myself putting my trust in this wonderful Christ who is not the theme of the Bible, but the living Word. And tonight I just want to speak to you very briefly, you who are adults, and myself included, because it goes both ways. From John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'd like to read from verse 8. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 8. I believe it's verse 8. Or verse 7. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 7. I really thank God tonight for His Word. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. If you're not going by the Word, and oh, young person, listen to this. You can remember this. I know. You don't even have to write this down. You know, we talk about the Word, W-O-R-D. You know what that means? What our Redeemer declares. W-O-R-D. What our Redeemer declares. Remember that. That's the reason we say you got to go by the Word. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 7, and these are the words. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it, more abundantly. Let that do for our readings. Especially verse 10, I wanted to call your attention to, from the middle to the end of the verse, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, friend, let me say it in language that all of us can understand. He wasn't talking about physical life. He's not talking about the blood running through our veins and arteries and going through our heart. You know, the pump and all like that. No, no, that's not what he was talking about. Because, you see, he wasn't talking to people who were in the cemetery. He was talking to people who were actually breathing. But, you see, there's life, as we've often said, and we'll keep on saying, isn't yours because of vitamins or minerals. It's not ours because of a balanced diet or you exercise on a regular basis, or even because you have proper ventilation in your room at night. Life begins at Calvary. Life is in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't speak lightly of that. There are lots of people today in Waynesburg, Hagersburg, Chambersburg, and you name all the little towns around here. There are lots of people who are on jobs, in schools, walking the streets, shopping in the market, who according to the Word of God are dead in trespasses and sin. Maybe some of them have just recently been given a good, wonderful physical examination by the doctor, and as far as the doctor is concerned, there is nothing wrong. But the doctor is not speaking about that, the spiritual. He's simply speaking about the physical. Because until a person puts their trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, who was buried, whom God raised the third day from among the dead. It doesn't make any difference how rich they are. It doesn't make any difference how intelligent they are. It doesn't make any difference what the world thinks or says about them. The Bible says that they're lost. And there again, you must go by the Word. And it isn't a group of preachers who got together and said, this is what we're going to say to the people. And so Jesus says, I am come that they might have life. And so, friend, if there was no other statement like that in the Word of God, that would be enough to let us know that apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have life. It is just that simple. And we're not speaking about the physical. You see, man is spirit, soul, and body. With his body, he's conscious, world conscious. With his soul, that's the seat of emotions. That's where we have that joy and that sorrow. The dear brother that we're praying for, not him, but the family. his family. We pray for them because in their souls, along with us, we will experience grief and sorrow. Or like the dear man who, the man mentioned today, Tom mentioned, who is in the hospital, had an accident. And there is sorrow. And he, now he feels it in his body, but also people are affected in their souls. But you see, where people are dead, and why people are dead, is because, number one, we're born that way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And where they're dead is in their spirit. And you don't come alive in your spirit until you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Now, you can lay on the table of the best team of surgeons in the world, and they can open up your body, and with their eyes and all kind of magnifying glasses, they cannot see your spirit. That's what it's all about. And when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You hear people say, oh, but I feel good. And there's nothing wrong with feeling good, but that has nothing to do with it. Or somebody, you know, you go to a meeting and they say, boy, I had goose pimples just hit me. Well, generally, when people get goose pimples, they're cold. That means they need a sweater or a jacket. That has nothing to do with it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And so it's the spirit. And when the Spirit of God, who is the author of the book, comes into the spirit of a person, that person comes alive. And not until then. And that's what the Bible talks about, the new birth. And when Jesus was talking about those two words that we've been hearing so much in the last few years, born again. I hear people say, I mean, are you a born again Christian? You know what I say to them? I didn't know there was any other kind. You don't become a Christian unless you're born again. I didn't know there was any other kind. You must be born again. You must be born again in order to be a member of the family of God. And like we had nothing to do with our first birth, and we don't have anything to do with our second birth other than just simply exercise faith. And that's not our faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so here the Lord Jesus is talking about life. And I know, friend, this sounds like ABC, but I'm convinced as I travel back and forth across this country, there's a whole lot of people that don't know anything about the ABCs. They got these well-bound Bibles, and they got flowers stuck in them, and they got records in them, and Second Chronicles and King and First and Second Samuel is still stuck together, and they've owned them for 5 or 6 years. That just simply tells me that they haven't had the book open. And one of the reasons that in our country so many people get ripped off religiously, if you please, of food, is because there are people who are not taking time individually on their own to get into the Word of God. And I know we try to do a whole lot of things, but we can't do it. You can motivate people as touching sales, and you can motivate people as touching different jobs, but only the Spirit of God. And He never does that against a person's will. And all the excuses that you hear, oh, but I don't have time. We have time for everything else. We take time to eat. We take time to shop. I go shopping with my wife sometimes, and those department stores don't open till 10 o'clock in Denver, and we've been at that store at 9:45 just waiting for that guy to open the door, and he doesn't open it till 10 o'clock. And you know something? If that guy didn't open that door and get away from it, they'd trample him to death, especially when they got sales. And people take time out of their busy schedules to do it. Nothing wrong with that. You know, getting those bargains, getting those things that are on, nothing wrong with that at all. But yet when it comes to the Word, the flimsy excuses we have, and let me just simply say again, at the expense of sounding like a stuck or a broken record, the Word of God is God's love letter to us. And nobody has to be made to read a love letter. All you have to do is get one. That dear girl who at home is my wife, over 30 years ago, I wrote her 2 letters a day. In those days, you could write for 3 cents. I was thinking today, what did I say? And I don't mean 1 page. 2 letters a day I wrote her. Well, I know some of the things I talked about. I talked about the clouds, you know. I thought that looked good on paper, you know. And I wrote about that. And when I got a letter from her, I didn't stick it in my pocket and say, oh, I'll read that when I get time. I didn't even wash my hands. Tear that thing open and read it. I almost knew it by heart before the mail came the next day. Because it was a letter from somebody that I love. And friend, here it is, God's Word. And nobody has to be made to read it. All you got to do is be in love with the lover of soul, the Lord Jesus. And we'll find ourselves not finding time, but taking time to read it. Because the entrance of the Word giveth life it giveth understanding unto the simple. And then the Lord Jesus says and that they might have it more abundantly. And that's what I wanted to just share with us briefly. Because you see, friend, first you must have life before you can enjoy abundant life. Now, life begins at Calvary. And it's not so much by walking the aisle. Sure, we have an altar. We give a simple invitation. We invite people, but we don't use any pressure, no gimmicks. And the reason we don't do that is because when Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, you've heard us say, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended upon him, and doves don't shove. You can make a man or a woman, boy or girl, say, yes, I believe that. And they say that many times just to get you off of their back. But friend, the Holy Spirit doesn't make people. He draws people. And when people respond to the Spirit of God, the work is done. And it's really done. Whatsoever God doeth, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, it is forever. But we've been saying that there's much more to the Christian life than the ticket to heaven. There's much more than just simply professing faith in Christ and then going our way and doing our thing. There are many Christians who are doing their thing and they're actually living in rebellion against God. How do we know that? Because the Bible says twice in the book of Proverbs, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, the Lord purchased us lock, stock, and barrel. He purchased us. He gave himself for us that he might give himself to us, and we need to let him. And then that way, he can just simply flow through us like liquid would flow through that straw. And the reason there are not that many, many people who are really enjoying the Lord, because many people rather do their thing. And the Old Testament illustration is brought to us. You remember reading Numbers chapter 32. And you remember in Numbers 32, there were two of the tribes that came to Moses after all of those bitter experiences that they had, after all that God had provided for them on the west side of the Jordan. Would you believe it that there were two tribes that came to Moses and said, look, we got cattle, and this place is a place for cattle. And in so many words, it's saying it doesn't make any difference what God has planned for us. This is what we want. Kind of shook up Moses. But you know, you don't force people. That is one thing. That's the reason that Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 12 by the Holy Spirit says, I beseech you. He didn't say, I demand you. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And let me just say this here, right here, friend. It isn't you and I living the Christian life. And if you're here as a mom or a dad or a grandmother or a grandfather or a young person, and you're trying to live the Christian life, you don't have to tell what you're experiencing. Everybody knows what you're experiencing. You're experiencing constant frustration because you're trying to do it. And the Lord, that isn't what it's all about. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus trying to do anything? We sing songs. You probably sing it right in this place. Take my life and let it be. Or have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Friend, do you know what it really is? It's just simply a matter of taking our hands off. It's almost in words like this. Lord, here's my body. Whatever, it's yours. Whatever you want to do to me, through me, with me, help yourself. Do you know it's that simple? That's what it's really all about. And would you believe that right here in the USA, there are many, many believers, some of them been believers for years, who are actually afraid to just be that honest with the Lord and level with the Lord, to let the Lord just flow through them the way he wants to. And we make it so spooky and so mysterious and something so way out and something so unattractive when Jesus Christ is the greatest attraction in the universe. There's nobody can draw like the Lord Jesus. Nobody can do like the Lord. Did you stop to think what we were doing in this place when the pastor stood here? Did it dawn upon you what was happening? Here we can stand in this place in the very presence of God and talk to the Lord about people in a hospital, talk to the Lord about people miles away. I was reminded tonight in the prayer room, a brother was speaking about some people down there in Nicaragua, however you say it, way over there. And God, you know, he's there. That's amazing, friend. You don't even have to pick up a phone to do that. And that's too often taken for granted. I think about it sometimes when I go into a restaurant and eat. You know, and you just bow your head. And I think, boy, either I got to be for real or I got to be crazy. And I know people do think you're crazy sometimes, especially in a public place when you bow your head, you know, maybe especially especially over a glass of orange juice and a cup of donuts. They think you really done lost your mind. But friend, that's all you're really doing is just simply honoring the Lord because you believe Him. That's all it is. And it's right down to the nitty-gritty of every day. It isn't something spooky, mysterious, and you go to some meeting and something hits you and you live happily ever after. It's not like that at all. It's simply responding to the Lord who's in here. He's not knocking any plaster off of the walls. He isn't sending any books through the air. He's not moving any church furniture. And he's not having any of the God's people act like a fool. But you know what he's saying? He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know what he's saying to all of us who are redeemed by precious blood? He's saying, my child, let me do it. Just let me do it. And you know what my unbelief does? My unbelief is saying in so many words, Lord, I can do it better myself. And you know, because he's never been in the business of pushing my hand off of it, he just lets me do it. And what do? Every time, goof. Blow it. Every time. And never I can do it good. The psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And so that 2.5 tribes there in the book of Numbers, chapter 32, they chose to go their way. And you know what the Lord did? He just simply let them. And that same thing is happening today. But it's amazing how we can read the Word of God and we see all of these things that the Lord promised us. And we really want that. But you know what the problem is? So many times we want it on our terms. Let me say it this way, friend. It'll never be on our terms. Never be on our terms. You have to come God's way. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not on our terms. We come as helpless and hell-deserving sinners. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And all of that, according to John 1:13 and 2 Corinthians 5:18, all of that is of God. I don't know what God is going to have to do to us as Americans. And you know, now things are happening. Would you believe me if I tell you somebody could come in this place right now with an automatic weapon, mow down most of us, if not all of us, and you know what they do? They take him down to jail, and for 30 days he'd examine his head, and in all probability he'd get out of it. That's the kind of world we live in, and you know why that world is like that? I'll tell you why it is. Because there are people who say, no God. It's like what we read in Psalm 36 and also Psalm 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, no God, I can do it better myself. And they want to know, they say to you when you get excited about the Lord Jesus, and they say to you when you talk about being totally committed to the Lord Jesus, oh, that's a crutch. No, no, friend, that's not a crutch. The Lord Jesus is our life. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our wisdom. You name it, and he's that, because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the word goes on to say, and we're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You know what we said at the very outset of our time together? I tell you what I want. There's no preacher that can do that. None of us can do that. It's the Spirit of God. I really long for the day when the Spirit of God, unhindered and ungrieved, just simply melts the congregation. You see it here and there, but that's what I long to see. He melts. And people are not swayed by a personality of some person, but people are affected by the power and the gentle moving of the Spirit of the living God. That verse that our dear sister quoted earlier, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it's simply when the people of God are just simply looking to God, not for some sort of an experience, but convinced that on their own they can't make it. And then the Spirit of God just does his sovereign work in melting and in drawing and convicting and converting and consecrating. And it's not because we get to some certain point in our lives or some certain program. The Spirit of God just does that, and he always testifies of Christ and he glorifies him. And so this abundant life can be ours to enjoy right here and now. You don't have to wait till down the pipe. I'm amazed. I don't mind telling you. I'm amazed at what's happening in our country. I'm very encouraged in the Lord. I'd be discouraged if I tried to depend upon what I saw with my eyes or what I'm hearing with my ears. But I'm actually amazed. I'm encouraged because of what God is doing, and his program is right on. But friend, I want to tell you, I like to see more people get excited about the Lord. And it isn't just for pastors. Who ever heard of shepherds bringing sheep into the world? You know a shepherd that ever brought a sheep into the world? Let me see your hand. Do you know anybody? You ever heard of a shepherd bringing a sheep into the world?
Never. Sheep bring sheep. Not shepherds. Shepherds feed sheep, and they guide sheep, and they lead sheep, and they care for sheep. See, that's what the shepherd does. Ah, friend, but this is what the Lord wants to do, and he wants us to enjoy life. You know how simple it is, and here's the how. If you're here tonight as a Christian, and you're not enjoying the Lord Jesus, you know what you, and not for me, friend, but you know what you can do? All you got to do is right there. You don't even have to close your eyes, squint some special look on your face. Just simply be honest. Lord, I'm not enjoying you like you intended for me to enjoy you. And I want to confess to you my unbelief. I confess, Lord, that I really haven't to this point believed that you mean what you say is touching me. And the proof of my unbelief is I got my hand on my life. And the moment you confess to the Lord, that moment he cleanses and he forgives and he restores. And then if you haven't yielded to the Lord, and it isn't a matter of re-yielding, if you haven't yielded to him, then you just give the right away over to him in the light of the word of God in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, where it says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And then just simply moment by moment, lovingly obey him the rest of your days on the planet. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, in a moment or two, we're going to be singing a few stanzas of a hymn. And if you're not a Christian, let me say this to your friend. We don't want to put anybody on the spot. That's not the reason these meetings are. But if you're not a Christian, this could be your red letter day. You know what you could do tonight? Just simply be honest. Lord, I'm a sinner and I don't understand that. I don't have peace. But right now, I have a change of mind about you. And right now, Lord Jesus, I trust you. I believe you died for me. And you know what will happen? You'll go out of whatever door you go out. You'll go out that door a new creature in Christ Jesus. All God is asking you to do is simply be lovingly honest with him. And Brother Harold is going to come now, and we're just simply asking you tonight to just simply respond to this wonderful Christ who says, come. If you sit there and there or stand there and there's a want to deep down inside, that's the Lord. Why not just respond to him?
The hymn is number 217. Number 217, Speak to My Heart. Would you turn to that? In a sermon of this kind, when we call for response, now is the moment of truth for those to whom the Spirit is speaking. So we ask that you would take courage, and that the Lord is speaking to you in a very clear kind of a way and asking you to give your life to him. We're just asking in a very appropriate way. There are many ways, but a very appropriate way would be to come kneel here at an altar of prayer, and someone will be happy to pray with you and make that way clear to you. The hymn is number 217, Speak to My Heart. Let's stand and sing.